Okay. O Lord, I pray that may our hearts and minds be opened and receptive to the truth of your word of life, which we are about to receive. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thus far, our Lenten sermon series has reminded us that believers often live in this metaphorical wilderness that isn't a place of comfort and joy and peace, but it's a place of challenge and temptations and problems. At times, of course, we may feel burdened, overwhelmed, or trapped by the weight of those trials, those challenges, you know, those temptations that we face while in those metaphorical wildernesses. Last week, I reminded us that God does not always remove obstacles from our lives and spiritual journey. No, God does not always do that. Instead, one thing God does and does excellently is that God equips us to face whatever challenges, to face whatever trials, to face whatever giants challenging us that are cornering us. You know, God equips us to face them. Also, the fact is this: overcoming an obstacle does not end the struggles. It does not. Because, see, we live in a fallen world. So it's wishful thinking to think that because I have overcome this obstacle, that's the end of all obstacles. No. We live in a fallen world, and we are still journeying to our heavenly home, which simply then implies that there are going to be obstacles. And a good example of that is in today's Old Testament reading. You know, Joshua chapter 5 from verse 9 to 15, it reaffirms this truth. A good example is that verse 13 of Joshua 5 stresses that the wilderness journey is not over yet, even though they had camped outside of the promised land, right? And then they crossed into the promised land by, you know, crossing over River Jordan, right? Now they are inside the promised land, and they have also started eating from the abundance that the promised land offers. Now you might think, oof, we have rested. That's it, right? But what happened next? Joshua saw a man holding a sword. That is not a sign that this is over. No. Rather, this is telling us that, hey, your moment of blessing on the promised land absolutely does not signify that the end of your metaphorical wilderness has come. No, it hasn't. That is not. But instead, what this is really pointing out is that they still need to rely on God. They still need to rely on God, because with God as their guide, they stand a chance to cross whatever obstacle that comes their way. Now, but see, here is the thing. Following God doesn't mean, oh, that's it. Because sometimes some people think, if I am obedient to God, then that means all is well. I will not face any challenges because I am, you know, faithful, or I am trying to really excuse me. You know, I am trying to really obey God's will. You know, that's not how scripture puts it. Obeying God does not promise us a trouble-free path. No, it does not. It does not do that. It's that we are called to face obstacles, right? With the confidence that God equips us to face all of these challenges, to face them irrespective of where these challenges are coming from. You know, God equips us to overcome them. And so trials, we saw that last week, right? That trials strengthen our faith. They remind us to depend on the sustenance that we can enjoy from God. Also, scripture consistently assures us that, you know, God sees our struggles. And this is good news. Thank you, Jerry. This is good news indeed. Okay. So, this is good news to know that God sees our struggles. Imagine you are going through hard times and then no one sees you. I mean, no one understands what you are going through. I mean, that is really, really difficult. That is more difficult. But just to be assured that God sees you, in other words, you are not alone. God sees you. And not just that God sees you, but that God cares deeply, right? God cares deeply, and that God is actively working on your behalf. I mean, what new can we say? God sees us, God cares about us, and God is actively involved or rather engaged in doing something that will benefit us. In Luke 15, which is the New Testament passage that I read, it begins with a kind of interesting tone, right? It says, the tax collectors and sinners are gathering around Jesus to listen to him, not to make him impure, no, but to listen to what Jesus got to say. Now, isn't that good news? Yes, it is. However, the Pharisees and teachers of the law, they complained. Why are these people hanging around you? You know, you said that you are a rabbi. So why are they hanging around you? They said, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. And who are sinners again? Tax collectors and those people that they call sinners. And I will explain just in a bit. The Pharisees, they despise the tax collectors because the tax collectors, they extort people. They take money from people. And also they collaborate with the Romans. So the Pharisees hated them with a passion. Now, who do they call sinners? These are common people that do not understand the law, that are ignorant of the law. These are the people that the Pharisees call sinners. Look at that, right? And see Jesus mingle with these people, teaching them about God's word, really added the Pharisees, and they complained. Why is Jesus doing that? We thought you were some mighty teacher. You should know better. Jesus then, in response, uses two parables. The first one is the parable of the lost sheep. Second one is the parable of the lost coin. Now, these two parables, they illustrate, you know, God's boundless love and you know, the way God pursues those that he loves, even though they are running far away from him, but God just keeps pursuing them, you know, with the aim to get them, with the aim to embrace them, to bring them back home. And when you look at that, the first parable, the shepherd lost a sheep out of 100. And what did he do? He left them 99 and went looking for that one, singular one that just got wayward. What about the lost coin? The woman had 10 coins, not one, 10 coins. And she lost one. What did she do? She went looking for that one. And in both cases, they found what they were looking for. And both joyously and extravagantly rejoiced. They celebrated after finding what they had lost. That is really a beautiful find. And scripture tells us that that's exactly what happens even in heaven when a sinner is restored, or when someone has believed, heaven jubilates. So this story contrasts the limited compassion of the Pharisees with the extravagant compassion of Jesus. That is what this is really pointing at. And so they emphasize God's initiative in seeking and restoring people that have gone wayward, that are lost. God is really going after them. And so in our metaphorical wildernesses, we often encounter people, yes, who treat us with disdain like the Pharisees, right? They treat us as if we do not matter. Yes, and we also find people who are marginalized. Sometimes not because they have done anything wrong. But even in that case, we also experience disdain from people that we love, from people that we trust, people that we thought they had our backs, right? But that's not what has happened. They instead hurt us in the way, you know, through their choices and whatnot. So these moments, the question is, see, when we find ourselves in this situation, what do we do? How do we respond? How do we respond? Now, these moments challenge us to respond in a way that fits who we are as God's children. That is our identity, that we are redeemed children. And so we ought to reflect that. The wilderness within us may tempt us to seek retribution because someone has done something to us that hurts us. And so we are just thinking, hey, I have had enough of it. And so I need to respond to. But as a believer, that is not how Scripture is calling us to respond. Scripture is calling us to respond in such a way that it shows who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us. That's how Scripture calls us to respond. And I am not standing here telling you that this is all easy. No, it's not. It's difficult. The faith that we have responded to, you know, this Christianity that we have responded to, it's not easy. It's challenging. It's calling us to become. And becoming is not easy because in some cases we are comfortable in where we are. But we are then asked to push ahead, to do more, to become someone that God desires. And so it's not easy. It's challenging. But that's the nature of our faith. It pushes us. It moves us. It's, you know, it niches us sometimes. Other times it cherishes us. You know, that's how it is. And so this wilderness that we may be in, it is serving so many purposes. As Christians in the Reformed tradition, we affirmed God's sovereignty. That's one thing at the top of our confession as a church, is that we affirm God's sovereignty over all things. And so that simply means that the good, the bad, and the chaotic, God is still in control. That's what we are simply saying. So this truth reassures us that God is always at work, even when things are boiling, even when things are not looking as if they're going, you know, good. God is still at work in our lives, around us, and in the world. You know, and when you look at it, God speaks through scriptures. God speaks through Jesus Christ. God speaks through your brother and your sister. God speaks through your experiences in those wildernesses. God speaks through nature. God speaks. That's how it is. But another thing that our Reformed tradition also calls us to, it's the fact of human agency. So there is God's, you know, the fact that God is sovereign, but there is also the fact that, yes, God often chooses to act through people, you know, through individuals. But how can they rightly act if they fail to listen? So if God chooses to work through people, how do these people act rightly if they did not listen or they did not hear what God is telling them? Right? So we are called to pray. You know, pray for ourselves. We are called to pray for our leaders. We are called to pray. Currently, we are in a situation, you know, with what is happening in America that is affecting Canada and maybe even the rest of the world, right? With Trump's administration and their opinions, deeply, polarizing opinions. Now, where do you stand? Do you appreciate what is happening? Because I have talked with so many people, and there are some who are in favor of what is happening. There are many people who are not in favor of what is happening. But either way, you listen to the news and you feel so discouraged. You hear about what is happening in some parts of the world and you are so down. Here is the good news. God sees, God cares, God is moving. God speaks. Yes, God speaks to whosoever. God is always speaking. But the thing is, are we listening? Right? Sometimes we don't listen, and sometimes our leaders don't listen. So how do I respond to this reality? You know, let's pray that we will listen to what God is saying in our wildernesses, and that our leaders will listen to what God is saying to them, because God is always speaking. God is always speaking. So if you think what is happening in the world doesn't make sense, don't eat what is happening. Don't hate anyone. No, that's not the way to go. That is not our calling as believers. That's not. Our calling is to go looking for what is lost. Our calling is to pray that we will listen to what God is saying as we go doing our business, Our calling is to pray for our leaders that they will listen to what God is saying, because God is speaking. So, don't be discouraged. Pray. Sometimes I don't want to listen to the news. I don't want to watch it. But, you know, pray. That's what we need to do. The wilderness is challenging, but with God by our side, we will succeed. We will cross as we journey to our promised land. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray.